Right, well, joining me now is Richie Humphreys. And Richie, first of all, you are the chairman of the PFA. And, you know, I was just wondering, really, what does that role entail?
Well, my role is to be the chair of the players and to represent all the players, obviously, to the best of my ability, and to attend meetings. We have a management committee which is made up of about myself plus, you know, 15 or 16 other professionals from the men's and women's game. And we sit with the executives and discuss all the policies of the union, any matters arising. You know, we do that three or four times a year. And then obviously with myself being chair, I attend other meetings and be a representative when I can. But obviously that has to be shifted around my playing career, because obviously that's my main job. And I also have to, you know, take phone calls, emails, respond to any sort of media requests. And again, things that there's all the ongoing stuff with the education departments and the pensions and things like that. But there's always matters arising where lads need our help from clubs around the country, and obviously with the women as well.
I mean, when you look at this role, how did you get it? Was it a case that someone approached you to do it, or did you have to apply for it?
Well, what happens is at the football clubs, so all 92 clubs in the leagues, like I said, plus the Women's Super League, we'll have at least we'll have a delegate at each football club. So there'll be, generally, I think it tends to be the senior player or the captain at the time. And that's point of contact for the PFA, should we need to contact anybody at the football club. And also, should any of the players need the PFA, then they can go and speak to their delegate at the club. And from that's I spoke about the management committee. So generally, you know, people take a more of an interest in how the union works and what it does for its members. And I put myself forward to be on the management committee about probably 6 or 7 years ago now. So I've been part of that management committee whilst Chris Powell was chairman and whilst Clark Carlisle was chairman. And then once Clark stood down when he finished his playing career, the management committee then elected me to be the chair.
And you look at the management committee, just in your opinion, how important is it? You know, I'm looking at the names now, that it really is a wide range of names in terms of you've got Premier League, Championship League, One, League Two, and also women's football as well.
Yeah, it is. It's a very diverse group of people, from people from different nationalities, cultural backgrounds. It's men and women, players from different leagues, players with different age brackets. So we try and, you know, get that all covered. So we're, you know, all trying to speak on behalf of everybody, you know, obviously, you know, not just the senior players that you might think, well, it's always going to be the senior players that are coming to the end of their careers. Football can leave you at any time, you know, whether that be through injury, not getting your contract renewed, when you're a scholar and you don't even, you know, don't turn professional. We're there to help everybody. And like I said, it's real great benefit to myself to have all those people availability, their support. And the, you know, their time, the dedicated input that they give up for the PFA and for the management committee.
And of course, you look at yourself, you've had, you know, quite a long playing career, you've had a couple of different clubs as well. Do you feel you're in a position where you're able to pass down that experience, that expertise to those who need it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that grows, doesn't it, when you get more experienced and you get, I suppose, you know, older and wiser. I've played in all the divisions. You know, I played a lot of my career, you know, later in my career in the League One, League Two. And it's kind of, you know, probably a bit of a myth that, you know, well, in fact, it is a myth that all footballers are millionaires. You know, a very small percentage of our members, you know, are extremely wealthy and won't have to work again. You know, a big percentage really need our help. They need help with re-education, getting qualified. So when our playing careers finish, which, again, I said, can happen at any time, we're trying to make that transition into our second careers as smooth as possible. It's not easy to give up your time and, you know, to go to college or to university or do some homeschooling whilst you are still playing, because obviously your training schedule and your match schedule can be quite hectic. But it's so important that once we come out of football, that we can make that transition into our second careers, you know, as smooth as possible, and that we've got some qualifications to be able to go and interview, put a CV together. Because, you know, so we've got a long working life ahead of us after our playing days are over.
And I mean, during the weekend, you gave a speech at the PFA Awards. What was it like? And obviously, you know, seeing the likes of Riyad Mahrez gain the main prize.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It's a great event. So it's something I've attended since in my early 20s, you know, since 2000, 2001, something like that. And I've always seen it as a chance to be with players at the end of a long season, show your appreciation to players at other clubs, particularly the division you're playing in at the time, because you'll have voted for 11 other lads to be nominated into the team of the year. You have an input into who wins the young player of the year and the player of the year by casting your votes, and the votes we've had this year and every year are fantastic. The event was great. My speech went okay, I think. Again, just wanted to re-emphasise that we're so privileged to be professional footballers. When we became professional footballers, that wasn't an easy step. You know, it's hard work, and it's hard work staying as a professional footballer. You have tough times as well as the good times. You need the support of your friends and your family through those tougher times, because it's so nice to share the victories and successes with them as well. I spoke about just what I did now, about the re-education side of it, how important that is. And also just to celebrate the evening, let the players, like I said, from the men's and women's game, enjoy each other's company, enjoy their night. And obviously it topped off when, as you mentioned, with presenting the awards to Beth and Izzy and to Dele Alli, Ryan Giggs and Riyad Mahrez.
And I don't know if you've seen these comments, but Juan Mata has gained a lot of praise over the last day for his comments about how it really is, you know, like you've been saying, isn't every footballer isn't on a lot of money, you know. He's been saying that it really is just a fortunate few. I mean, do you feel that those comments really do deserve the praise of the game? Because Juan Mata is obviously, you know, admitting he's in such a privileged position.
Well, I've not seen the comments, but I think, you know, if he's saying that we're in privileged positions, we certainly are, and that's regardless of salary, high or low. We get paid to play football, which is, you know, with the game we love. We've got the job that I'd say 99% of us probably wanted when we were kids, and we have to appreciate that. Like every day we train, every game we play, we have to appreciate that we have this privileged job. I certainly feel that way, and I said, you know, I speak for myself on that, but I probably speak for, you know, a lot of footballers, because, you know, like I said, it can be a short career. I mean, I feel really lucky and I feel really privileged that mine's, you know, surpassed 20 years now. And I love it. And, you know, every Sunday night when I go to bed, I've got another working week ahead of me in football. And I'm really grateful for that.
And looking at your playing career, you've played for the likes of Sheffield Wednesday, a lot of appearances for Hartlepool United, time at Chesterfield, you're still there now. I mean, you know, if I was to say what were your best memories at, you know, your previous clubs and also at Chesterfield, what would they be?
Well, certainly making my professional debut for Sheffield Wednesday. Scored on my full home debut in my first, what I'd call my first proper season as a professional. And you know, scoring goal live on Sky and play for England under-21s really early in my career. And so, you know, any of those, you know, Premiership games, I suppose, when I played for Sheffield Wednesday, are all huge moments in my career. I had 6 months at Cambridge where I broke my foot, so I needed to, you know, get another club and try and rebuild my career again. And that started at Hartlepool, and I was there for 12 seasons and played the most amount of games anybody's ever played for them. I had a testimonial there, and we had some tremendous promotions, playoff campaigns where we were sort of 9 minutes away from getting into the Championship, which, you know, for Hartlepool would have been an outstanding achievement, you know, really outstanding. And I made a lot of really good friends there as well, and they were there at the weekend to support me at the PFA Awards. Some of them aren't playing anymore, some of them are, but that was nice to see everybody as well. And almost when I probably thought my career was over, when I got released from Hartlepool, to come and sign at Chesterfield, which is down the road from where I live. My wife was just about to have our second baby. I was already 35. To come and play 50 games that season, win the Championship, played at Wembley for the first time. I'd never played at Wembley. I said my boy was born. I got elected into the PFA chair role. So it was that year was, you know, when I thought, you know, coming towards the end of my career, was an amazing year. That was 2013. And, you know, last year we got to the playoffs again, another successful season. And then this year, you know, it's been a kind of different season because we sold some players from that team that got to the playoffs last year. And we just hopefully that we can get over the line this weekend and next weekend to secure our League One status.
I was going to say, looking at the three main clubs you've played for, let's say it could be a very special season because Sheffield Wednesday could be in the Premier League, Chesterfield could stay up, and also Hartlepool. You know, you've got to say they managed yet another great escape.
Yeah, things weren't, you know, it was getting quite tight at Hartlepool, you know, after Christmas and stuff. And, you know, Craig's gone in. Love Craig to bits, known him a long time, and he's done a fantastic job. And, you know, they're obviously up and secure now. And he'll want to, you know, finish the season off in style, I suppose. Sheffield Wednesday, obviously, I've still got a lot of links with the club in terms of friends of mine from Sheffield that support them, family members even. And they're obviously wanting to get back into the Premier League, whether it's this season through the playoffs or next season, whenever. But I think, you know, for myself as a Sheffield lad, wanting both Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday to be in the top flight, so it could end up being it could be a special year for Sheffield Wednesday. And us at Chesterfield, like I said before, we want to make sure that we're in this division for next season.